happens. Just bunch of slackers.
Hi, good morning. Hi, sweetheart. We're sitting back there. Do you see my husband? Do you want to sit with us?
Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm not doing announcements this morning. I am just saying this so Teresa will run up here and get to the keyboard.
Poor face.
If she wasn't so friendly and lovely, right? All right. Well, good morning. I am not doing announcements, but I want to start with prayer. You remember Jesus said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. So the more we pray, right? Nobody should be like, oh, we're praying again. Thank you, Rob. All right, so let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord. Your word encourages us to come to you in everything. And so, Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, as we've already been praying all morning, Lord, we're just praying and expecting you to do a work that only you could do. Lord, in our hearts, Lord, in this church body, Lord, in this community, Lord, and outside of this community, everywhere you're calling us to be, everywhere you're calling us to go, Lord, in everything you're calling us to do, we praise you and thank you that, Lord, you give us giftings, that you give us callings. But, Lord, most important, none of that happens until you call us to yourself in salvation. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you that you would give of yourself that we could be saved, that we could be gathered, Lord, that we could be redeemed, Lord, that we could be walking in your light and in your love. And so we praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, help us to rejoice in our salvation. In your mighty name, Jesus, and for your sake, amen.
Good morning. Welcome to church, everybody. What a blessing you're all here this morning. We have this time to be together and unite as one, to sing praises and worship our great God, and to love one another.
A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins.
Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as Christ God forgave you.
Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
1 John 3:18. Little children, we must not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. questions by our love. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored.
Amen, brothers and sisters. Amen. We're going to have our announcements. Here comes Derek.
Good morning, Cold Springs. Good morning. How is everyone today? Glad to see you all brave the snow, made it here. Just remember, snow brings water. Amen. So, and water brings life. So, you know. So these are the announcements for 1 January 29th, 2023. There's a children's trip to the Art Museum on Saturday, February 11th. See Jessica if you feel like you want to volunteer, feeling called. Jessica, right over there, she's raising her hand. She's our youth minister? Children's minister. Children, sorry, not youth, the little guys. And then Vacation Bible School meeting on February 19th after service. That's going to be in the 3 to 6th grade classroom. Now, if you're one of the people that are just like, man, that texting app is just so confusing. I want to give to the church, but the texting app is confusing. I can't find it on the website. I can't find it on the app. Can't find it. Checks are just so 1990s. I don't carry checks anymore, so I can't put them into the offering box. And who carries cash? You know, I need something to make it more convenient. That's what we've done. There are QR codes above all the offering boxes now. One QR code is for Cold Springs Valley Church, and one QR code is for Lovelock. So both of them you could go to. Just if you need help with a QR code, and you're like, hey, how do I use a QR code? Ask a friend, and they'll gladly help you through the QR code mystery. So those are our announcements. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you for our church. Thank you for all the people that have come here today and braved the weather. Let your spirit rain down upon us. Speak through Pastor. Help Pastor teach us about you, Lord, and help him be the conduit to lead us to you, Lord. And Lord, thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's worship.
Yes.
So you probably noticed that we have a drummer now. We're grateful to have Coleman and his family over there. I don't know if it's a little loud. We're working on that. But no, it's okay. Yeah, is everybody okay? We didn't want to freak you guys out or anything.
In the fall, running away when I hear you call, but just that you worked your will. I had no righteousness of my own, I had no right to draw near your throne, but Father, you loved me still. And in love before you laid the world's foundation, you predestined to adopt me as your own. I'm a child of God by grace and grace alone. You left your home to seek out the lost. You knew the great and terrible cost, but Jesus, your face was set. My
to the bone. Nothing I did could ever atone. But Jesus, you paid my debt. By your blood I have redemption and salvation. Lord, you died that I might reap what you have sown. And you rose that I might be a new creation. I am born again by grace and grace alone. I was in darkness all of my life. I never knew the day from the night. But Spirit, you made me see. I swore I knew the way on my own. Head full of rocks, a heart made of stone. But Spirit, you moved in me. At your touch, my sleeping spirit was awakened. On my darkened heart, the light of Christ has shone. Called into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Heaven citizen by grace and grace alone. So I'll stand in faith by grace and grace alone. I will run the race by grace and grace alone. I will slay my sin by grace and grace alone. I will reach the end by grace and grace alone.
Surely my God is the strength of my soul.
soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. We sing hallelujah.
Great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Be seated, and children are dismissed.
Can I have my sword back? Thank you, sir. And you know what? When you said, you know, I'm just not a good drummer, that's, you were fibbing. Good job, man. Thank you so much. Amen. Aren't you glad to be here? Let's hear it for you snow people. Come on, come on, get it out. This, I say this every time, but this better be the last storm, right? No, I just, and Derek, we don't need the water. The water comes in bottles, the little, yeah. No, the snow's fine unless it's on your driveway or your sidewalks or your parking lot or your tools or your job site or, you know, if it would just stay up in the mountains, it would be fine, right? Right? Okay. All right. Because it's only from the mountains that it turns into water down here anyway, right? All right. Okay. Good. We're all on the same page, or we're not. No, it's fine that we have snow. All right, enough of that. Good morning. Let's get to something. Let's continue with something serious. We're going to get into God's word here, and we're going to continue through Romans. We're almost done in Romans. We just got a little bit of time left. And so either Jesus needs to come back, or He needs to tell me where we're supposed to go after Romans, okay? So pray for either one, the first one preferably, Because Jesus would come back and we would all be, you know, in heaven just rejoicing with the Lord, right? Wouldn't that be good? Okay, but if he decides to tarry, please tell him I need to know where we're supposed to go next, okay? I know he already knows that, and it's probably good that he hasn't told me yet, because you ever see what happens to a squirrel or a hamster? It's just, you know, that's up here. So anyway, there's enough going on as far as the Bible. We're in 1 Peter up in Lovelock. We had a great time there last night. We had potluck. I don't know who else got indigestion, but I got to tell you, this is just, I'm breaking the ice here. I couldn't finish my plate last night. I couldn't. Because of the snacking that I did prior to getting a plate. Like, there was so much food. But anyway, we had a great time last night. And I just need to encourage you that I received a text this morning that was very encouraging. I'm not going to share the text with you. Very encouraging about how God is moving in very stiff hearts in Lovelock. The text this morning, I got to tell you, there was, obviously we're in prayer about a lot of things, but I've been in prayer about some specific stuff, obviously, and I got a text this morning that just reminded me that God is in control and God is doing his work, and so we are just to be faithful to what he's called us to. And so we just got to be faithful to what God calls us to. He's the one doing the work. Remember, if you water, water. If you plant seed, plant seed. Let God worry about the increase. And so I got this text this morning that was just, it really helped me to just rejoice in my heart and just to be, oh yeah, Lord, forgive me for thinking that this was me, right? But forgetting that you're the one doing the work. And so just continue to work in all of your servants. And so it was, I just want you to know, God is on the move up there in Lovelock, or over there, down there, I don't know, over in, you know, that part of Nevada, and in other places. So it was really good, and that wasn't just the food talking, okay? That wasn't just the food talking. It was so good to worship with those people and just see what God is doing up there, which kind of brings us to today. Today we're on mission. We're still in Romans 15, and just how in Romans chapter 15, it is so missions emphasis heavy. When you go through Romans 15, and there's so much about Paul's travels and where he's been and starting the churches and then glorifying God together and all these types of things. And so we get to this end portion, almost the end portion of 15. And so today we're on mission. What we're going to talk about is on mission, starting churches and supporting churches. It's both. Okay, so right there, support churches. And so we're going to get into some of this from this scripture, and we're going to go back to, I know we went through 21 last week, but we're going to go back to 20, we're going to go back to verse 20 just to kind of keep bringing all of this together, and why and how, and just a few things like that. And so we're going to start in Romans 15, we're going to start at verse 20. I did tell you verse 20, correct? Did I send that to you? Okay, good. Sometimes there's things up here and they don't transfer through my fingers. Who types like this? Anybody else? I know me. Anybody else? Man, it takes a while to do things. Okay, all right, let's stand up and read God's word. We're going to start in Romans 15, starting at verse 20, and we're going to read through 29. If you're there, say amen. All right. I love to hear the church say amen. Verse 20, so my aim is to evangelize where Christ has not been named, in order that I will not be building on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who had no report of him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. That is why I have been prevented many times from coming to you. But now I no longer have any work to do in these provinces, and I have strongly desired for many years to come to you whenever I travel to Spain. For I do hope to see you when I pass through, and to be sent on my way there by you, once I have first enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am traveling to Jerusalem to serve the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual benefits, then they are obligated to minister to Jews in material needs. So when I have finished this and safely delivered the funds to them, I will go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. Lord, I just ask that you would just continue to move, that you would continue to speak, that, Lord, you would call us out of our comfort and call us into your presence. And, Father, I want to just praise you that, Lord, you call us, that you give us a mission. You've made us a part. You give us opportunity. You give us the resources. Lord, you've given us everything we need. We just need to walk in obedience to you. And so, Father, just be speaking to us today and have us do your will and not our own. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen. All right, go ahead and have a seat. So, in verse 20, Paul says his aim is to evangelize where Christ has not been named. And so this is where the starting a new work or starting new churches comes from. Start churches where there are none. Now we know that there's places where there are no churches, and in current day church planting strategies are so much about, well, here's the deal. You have X amount of people in here, and so a typical church size is this much, and so you need X amount of churches in that area. And so they're just so concerned about, here's a spot, put a church. And so, you know, there would be church planting that would say, okay, Cold Springs needs, you know, 8 churches or 10 churches or whatever. The most common church size is 250 people. That's where people feel most, the majority of churchgoers feel most comfortable, in a congregation of 250 people. It's small enough, you still have small groups and you still have personal relationships, and it's not too big to get lost. A lot of people go to the mega churches, they like to get lost. They don't want to be bugged. They don't want to be, I shouldn't say bugged, but you know what I mean. That's their mindset. If I go, people are going to talk to me, and I don't want to talk to people. I don't want people to ask me questions. So I'm just going to go to this big church where I can just blend in. I'm not saying mega churches are bad. There are plenty of mega churches who do it well. They have excellent small groups and this, that, and the other. But statistically, the vast majority of churchgoers want to go to a church about 250. And so if you take that number, Cold Springs could support a lot of churches numerically. And so does that mean that we have no churches here? Well, no, obviously you're sitting in a church in Cold Springs. There are still places in the world where there are no churches. And so we are called first and foremost to start churches where there are no churches. This is what Paul is saying. Listen, I am going, I am called to go to the places where Christ has not been preached. If we had 250 people in this service, trust me, everybody in Cold Springs and everybody you work with should hear about the gospel. That's just the truth. We have enough in here now to where we have a church, we have a place where the saints are built up, they are edified, they are equipped to go out and present the gospel, to share the gospel, to share the amazing work of God in your lives. We have enough people sitting in here right now to do that in all of Cold Springs and in all of your workplaces. We already have that. But there are still places where people have not heard the gospel. There are still places where there are no area, no gathering of believers. There are no churches started there. And so we are called to start, to be a part of starting new churches. Now, if Cold Springs needs another church, we as this church here have the responsibility to also start that church to meet that need. That'll come in later with supporting churches. But Paul says, listen, I'm going to the place where Christ has not been preached. I'm going to this place. We have a responsibility to take the gospel, where did Jesus say? Everywhere. Everywhere. And so Paul makes a statement, listen, my work here is done. And if you take a tour now, you have an airplane, you have boats, you have cars, you have motorcycles, you have all kinds of stuff where you can get to all kinds of places. Anybody in construction, you see some of the major awesome dirt movers, right? You ever watch them drill and punch rock full of dynamite and blow it up so that they can put a building there? Oh, man, that's so cool. They won't let you get too close, but you know. We have all of this technology and all of these things. When there's a lot of places where Paul says, my work was done, where he couldn't go, he didn't have access, there wasn't a population to preach the gospel at that time. Those places have been opened up to the technology that God has given us to make churches, to have people in these now habitated places that weren't in Paul in his time. And I want you to know that Paul says, listen, my goal, my aim, what I'm called to is go start churches where Christ hasn't been proclaimed. It's just part of his calling. That was the majority of his calling, was to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to those who had not heard Christ. And so we have that same call. We are to start churches where there's no church. He says, listen, this is why I've been prevented from coming to you. Because my call, my main call, my first call, was to start churches in places where Christ hasn't been proclaimed. To proclaim the gospel in all of these places. And so we have a responsibility as a church to start new works. He quotes from Isaiah 52:15. So he shall sprinkle many nations because of him. Kings shall shut their mouths, for they shall see what has not been told them, and they shall consider with full attention what they have not heard. Listen, Christ is to be preached to those in ignorance, those who don't know. Now, ignorance is not a bad word. It's a bad word when you say, hey, you're ignorant. Those in ignorance means they don't have the opportunity. They don't know. They haven't. And so the new work that we are to take, to start, to be a part of, is to take the gospel to those who don't know, those who haven't heard. Listen to the promise that he said was being fulfilled from Isaiah. Kings will shut their mouths. You ever go to the president, right? And I know many of you would be like, I would like the president to shut his mouth, but you don't have that authority and you don't have that power. And it doesn't matter who's president, trust me. Every president, there's people who, like, this is not a bash on the president, current president. It's on all of them. Anyway, so there's power in proclaiming this gospel when we go according to how God has called us. And so when he says, listen, they're going to shut their mouths because they will have nothing to say when they come to the King of Kings. When they stand before the King of Kings, they will shut their mouth. There's nothing you can say when you come to the truth of Jesus Christ. You can try. But the point is that Jesus is the one who needs to be ruling and reigning. And so Paul, he quotes Isaiah and he says, listen, this is why I'm going and starting these churches. This is why I'm going and proclaiming the gospel where Christ has not been, where he's not been proclaimed. This is why God has kept me here and kept me from coming to you. Because you remember the first part of the letter, he says, listen, I want to come to you. I want to come and see you. I want to come and share the gospel with you, and I want to share some insight with you, and I want to hear some insight from you. I want to come and be together, but God has prevented him up until later. But he writes this letter now saying, listen, I'm going to come to you, and there's a church already here. And this is the next part of this. We are, as a church, part of our mission, to be on mission, we are also to support missionaries. Now, Paul didn't consider himself a missionary. That's a term we put in. Paul was just fulfilling his calling. But how do we support missionaries? A few ways up here. Number one, we gather together. We spend time together. Now, we get this confused with fellowship, right? We call it fellowship. And spending time together, eating meals together, is part of fellowship. But fellowship is so much more than a mealtime. So much more than the coffee time. Fellowship is sharing all things in Christ Jesus. And so it's not just time together, but support of missionaries. The first thing, or one of the things, is gather together to spend time together. This is what he says. For, excuse me. He says, after we have hung out. Okay, that's, you know, paraphrase there a little bit. This is what he says. Let me find it here. For I hope to see you when I pass through. Now that hope, again, is not just hope. He knew that it was going to come. Sent on my way there, once I have first enjoyed your company for a little while. He says, when I get there, I want to hang out. I want to just enjoy your company. Because we need to remember that when God has sent people out and they're fulfilling their calling, a lot of missionaries, when they go on the mission field, are very lonely. Man, I know some people who went to Pakistan, and the whole first 2 years, like, they had to struggle through learning the language and this, that, and the other, and the missionaries, they would only come together once a month if everything worked out great, to other people who were like-minded and on the same mission. They were in a place full of people avidly against who they are in Christ Jesus. How many things did Paul face on all of his journeys? Anybody here been stoned to death? And you say, Paul wasn't stoned to death, he's alive. No. In Galatia, they actually took him outside after they stoned him. So they said, oh man, he's dead, he ain't moving. And then God raises him and brings him back in. Or God, whatever, resuscitated him, however you want to look at it, but that's the truth. That sounds a little lonely to me, right? And so the first thing he says, listen, when I get there, you're my people too, because we all belong to Christ Jesus. I want to enjoy your company. And so we should. Part of fellowship is enjoying one another's company. So much in the church is, I don't like this person, I don't like this person, I don't like this person. I can't enjoy their company. It's because our eyes are not on salvation. Our eyes are not on what Christ has done for all of us, because none of us were better than the other. We were all still sinners when Christ died on the cross. And so we all have Christ in common. Now, we don't all play like it and act like it, but guess what? You're called to what? Forgive. To serve others. To put them before yourself. That's what we've been going through this whole time. And so we should enjoy each other's company. Here's a good question. If you miss church, and don't answer this. This is a heart question. If you miss church, do you feel light? Do you feel somewhat empty? Do you feel because you've missed the company of others? Because you've missed coming to gather together in God's presence with one another? Paul says, man, I long to see you. I want to hang out. I've got this mission, and when I get to come to you, because I know that I'm going to come to you, but the first thing I want to do is I just want to hang out. I don't want to share stories. He says, I want to share your company. I want to enjoy your company. I want to hear. Listen, he hears what God's doing in the church and through the church. He says, listen, your fame, right? Like the gospel moving. He's like, man, I've been hearing all about that. I want to hear it from you. Man, so much of fellowship is like, what is God doing in your life? Let me hear. Man, show me, tell me. And let me tell you what God's been doing in my life. Enjoying company. Yes, coffee should be there. But if there's no coffee, you should still enjoy each other's company. You see, we shouldn't have to have these other things because we have Christ. The company we enjoy should be our company because we're united in Christ, by Christ, for Christ. Number two, supply all the needs. For a missionary, we as the collected gathering of saints, need to supply all the needs for the missionaries. What he calls us to do. And missionaries, they have to write letters, and they have to ask for support, and they have to do that. And so they send letters to churches who they know have money for missions and missionaries and this, that, and the other. And so they have to raise their own support. And so they do that. And so a good church on mission with Christ will support all of their needs. Missionaries have different needs, right? And it depends on where they're at, depending on the need. But you'll see here what Paul says from them. Listen, he says, you assist me. Their assistance, supplying his needs. I want you to send me. I want you to house me. I want you to entertain me. I want you to do all of these things when I come to you. And all of these other churches have been sending Paul. And when a church couldn't afford to, Paul made tents. But Paul says, listen, you had every right. Now, that's a little bit different, but you had every obligation to basically support me as I came and preached the gospel to you. It's a little bit different, but it's along the same lines. And so when there's churches who cannot support the missionary, the churches who can need to. And we need to supply all their needs. This doesn't, like, we get a missionary who says, man, I need a Corvette. Because I really, like, here, man, a Corvette? And no highway patrol would make Lovelock a whole lot easier. I'm just saying. We were talking about a helicopter, and we were talking about, you know, a plane. You can find helicopters relatively cheap, just so you know. What do we find, $89,000 or something like that? Only four of us can go at a time, but you know. These are legitimate needs. Our missionaries need to eat. They do need transportation. They need places to live. They need these things. We should not be sending out missionaries. We should not be having missionaries that are starving, whose children are miserable, who they don't have this because of us when we have the need. I met a pastor he was somewhere around the San Francisco area. I can't remember. And so having dinner with this group of pastors, and we were just kind of talking about where we're from and this, that, and the other, and this. And he had a church, a decent-sized church, I think 300, something like that. He had 300 people in his congregation, and he says, and I can't get anybody to go do anything. Nobody will knock on doors. Nobody will go on mission. Nobody will do this. Nobody will do that. And he has 300 people in his congregation. He says, but we have $1.5 million sitting in the bank. He says they will give because money is what they have in abundance, but they won't do anything. And they won't even let him give it according to his discretion. There's $1.5 million sitting in some church's bank account, and they won't give it to missionaries, and they won't use it to be on mission that Christ called us to. Here's the thing. We have everything we need to support missionaries in our church because God has given it to us. And guess what? He's given us the call. Missionaries. Why do we support missionaries? Because they are actively serving and finding saints. Right? They're searching for those who don't know Christ. They're coming and they're ministering to people who already know Christ. They're coming to churches. They're coming to the places of the lost world. And so we on mission to support missionaries because they're fulfilling the call that God has given them. Listen, he's going throughout all of these places. And then now, verse 25, now, however, I'm traveling to Jerusalem to serve the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. And so he is going to serve the saints because of some people that he found who were not saints. He gives them the gospel. They become saints or Christians or believers or whatever word you want to fill that in. And they say, well, wait a second. There's some churches that are struggling back there, so here's some financial material that we have, that we want them to have. And so they send Paul as a missionary to go and serve those who are already saints. Why do we support missionaries? Because they're doing God's work, what he's called us to do. He said, go be on mission. Missionaries are actually on mission. And so that's why we support missionaries. Last week we had a the altar call actually Sunday night. So whoever was feeling led to respond to the invitation to the altar call last week showed up last Sunday night for the evening service to answer the call, and we shared some testimony about what God was calling us to, and it was a great time. It was a great time. And so we have some people who say, you know what, I'm called. God has confirmed that I'm supposed to do this, and God has confirmed this, and so I want more confirmation, and here's the thing. It was even stated, it's not logical that I go, but I know if God has called me, he's going to work all of the logistics out. That wasn't word for word. And so we need, because guess what, we have some missionaries here in our church. Some of you know that you're supposed to be going somewhere. And you're afraid that you won't be supported. You're afraid that God won't take care of you. I remember that was one of my fears when God called me into the ministry, right? Anybody like being poor? Right? So I was like, wait, I gotta do what? You want me to try to survive and my whole family to survive on $30,000 a year? Anybody jumping at that? But what if God called you to? You see, that shouldn't even be an option. The church should say, here's the thing, this is your calling, right? We should support you. We're going to make sure that you're taken care of. And so I'm like, wait, $30,000 a year, 34, it was something like that. It wasn't high 30s, it was. And my fear controlled me instead of my obedience to his call. And so I said, I'll just be a bivocational guy. And so I'll just keep on working because, man, that sounds, I don't want to be that skinny. I'm being honest. I don't want to have to not buy a new truck. You hear something? There was a fear that my flesh wouldn't be fed, and so I was disobedient to the call of God. And so it took time. Took time for God to work things out in my heart. Listen, thankfully, God didn't say, okay, I'm just done with you. But the truth of the matter is, that took some time. And there are still, I don't want to say, there are still consequences I am still dealing with because of that, just so you know. And it's been 12 years. Because of my disobedience, because I didn't trust God to just go. Next, we're on mission. We're on mission to support churches. Listen, okay, so same thing. He says, I'm traveling, but now I'm traveling to Jerusalem to serve the saints. He's going back to this church and that he had nothing to do with starting. Paul did not start the church in Jerusalem. In fact, when the church in Jerusalem was starting, he was killing Christians. He was persecuting them. So he was in direct opposition to this work of God that was being done. And so now, as a missionary, as a called, saved man, he is going back to Jerusalem to serve them, to minister to them. And so we are to support churches just like these other churches. Listen, we are to support churches. What churches? Our church! That's not really the theme of this, but I want you to notice first and foremost, people want to give to something, right? They do want to give to something. Oh, there's this big, cool new work, or there's this big, really cool thing, and so let's give and let's give and let's give and let's do that, and we neglect what we're already called to do. So the first church we're called to support is our own church. How do we do that? Well, through the tithe. Tithe is 10%. It means 10. Like, do we really have to talk about money? We do have to talk about money because money is the hardest thing for us to let go of. Us in a general sense. And we've got the wrong idea. We think that the churches are just supposed to supply all of our needs, right? No. God supplies your needs. The problem is, if a need's not being met, have you mismanaged? Is there somewhere you're spending on the flesh when you shouldn't be? There's a lot of things, and because to tell God, listen, I'm not going to give you what's rightfully yours. You know what's rightfully his? All of it. We are stewards. This is the only area in the whole entire Bible where God actually tells you to challenge him, to put him to the test. The only area where you can say, okay, God, I'm bringing my tithe to the storehouse. You promise that I can test you in this. So I'm going to bring my 10%, and you promise you'll supply all my needs. Here's the problem. Just like me. Like, oh, I think my needs are much greater than what God says they are. Because my need at that time would have been 30-whatever thousand plus whatever else he gave me, but I didn't trust. And it took some time to trust. Listen, I'm going to be honest. It took me some time to actually tithe. It took me some time to actually be able to write a check and be like, well, I'm giving 10% of my money. It's because my eyes were in the wrong place. My heart was in the wrong place. And so God had to do a work, and praise God, I was open to it, and I asked him for it, and he did. Listen, it pleased them to give. And so we're to support churches, we're to support our church. We support our church through the tithe. We're sitting in this building, and I want to tell you something. When I speak of, you know, when there's this great new work or whatever, I saw people give like crazy for this building to be built. like people sacrificing and giving in ways where it just like humbled me and caused a great rejoicing. It didn't break my heart. It caused rejoicing because these people were willing to do such extraordinary acts of generosity for this building to be built. And I'm not saying it's these people, listen, but in general, we didn't even come close to our budget last year. Because, oh, we're in the building, and so there's this general sense, well, we're in the building, so the thing's done, and so now it's just kind of whatever. Now I'll just go back to spending it on me. I met with a leader in church one time, and he told me, I don't tithe, and I don't give. I was like, you're a leader in the church. What do you mean you don't give? This is not our church, so don't be looking around like, who was it? Just leader in a different church. And I was like, what do you mean you don't give? He's like, God told me he didn't need my money. I was like, okay, hang on. Before you start proclaiming what God told you, make sure you heard everything that God told you. Because God doesn't need your money. That is something God might have said, but it would be accompanied with something else. It wouldn't be, I don't need your money, and just simply leave it at that. God does not need your money. What God desires is for your heart to be in obedience to him. And us giving is walking in obedience to him. It's aligning our heart with his, because nobody outgives God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is all about giving, and it's about this specific giving right here. And he goes on, and this is the part where it says, God loves a cheerful giver. Each one should give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or from compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, it pleased these guys to give. They were supporting their church, and they were giving to this other work. Wait a second, there's some saints over in Jerusalem that we've never met, that we've never been to, that are struggling, and it pleased them to give. They were cheerful in giving, and this is all financial. This is not like, oh, I'll pray for them. Nope, that was already being done. This is a financial giving to these other churches after they supported their own church and after they supported Paul. Here's the truth. You don't have to give everything unless Jesus tells you to give everything. All you have to give is what he commands you. All you have to give is what he calls you to. You say the scripture right there says, give as he's decided in his heart. Absolutely right. Because if God says, you know what, you're supposed to give 10%, that's the tithe. That's what you're supposed to get. And don't tell me that it's not in the New Testament. This is not about tithing in its entirety. This is just, it's there, trust me. Has he decided in his heart? Well, is your heart in line with God's heart? Because if your heart is in line with God's heart, it'll be in line with the commandments, his commandments. So here's the thing. As he's decided in his heart, here's the deal. I can't give 10%. I've gotten myself in a place where I can't give 10%. I've gotten myself in a place where I can't give 5%. I've gotten myself in a place where I can give 2%. Then give 2%. Give it cheerfully. Decided in your heart. How about this? Have you decided in your heart to be obedient to what God has called you to, what he is calling you to? That's the point. Maybe you can't give a percentage. Maybe it's going to be a week by week, month by month thing. Okay, Lord, here's my check. This is what I have. How much do you want me to give? Lord, I want to be able to give cheerfully, so show me, change me, move me. And if it ends up being two mites like the widow, it's two mites, but you gave cheerfully. See, it's not about the amount. It's about where is your heart in it. Do you want to support your church? Do you want to support missionaries? Do you want to support other churches? Do you want to support what God is doing as far as work? He doesn't need it, but what he desires is for your heart to be in line with what he's already doing and what he's already done. Anybody ever give up your children? Not on like one of those days where you're like, man, take them to the babysitter. Give up your children to the point of death for somebody else who doesn't deserve it. This is not a guilt trip. This is the truth of the scripture. When it talks about God giving more, God has given everything for us. And so anything that we give back to him, anything that he calls us to, is not too much. It's not a guilt, it's the truth. Listen, you have salvation. What does your money really matter? How much of it are you taking with you? Money is material. Your soul will not be holding on to anything. It will have no hands. Give me my briefcase. I've been to funerals where when they put the body, the casket, in the ground, they take all of their earthly possessions and they put them in there too. Because they believe that in the resurrection, they're going to get all their stuff and they're going to go. And so they need all their stuff in the resurrection. Trust me. In the resurrection, you will have everything because you will have Christ in his fullness. And if you can say, you know what, hey, here's the thing, God wants us to enjoy our stuff. Amen. Amen. But if you enjoy your stuff more than the work that God's doing and has done in your life, you have an idol. And it's not even money, it's your stuff or yourself or your money, could be. You have nice stuff. This is not condemnation. It's not condemnation to have nice stuff. Abraham was rich. Any of you have 300 Navy SEALs at your disposal? Anybody? Abraham had 300 well-trained soldiers. This is just his army that he had at his place. He was no king. He had no kingdom. But he had 300 trained men that destroyed five kings and their armies. Now, that's a wealthy dude. Now, does God ever say, Abraham, you're too wealthy? No. Why? Because Abraham didn't consider this earth or these earthly possessions his or anything he was looking to. No. He looked towards Christ and heaven. And so everything that was here was not his. He understood that. And so he enjoyed it, but he didn't hold on to it. And so it's not wrong to have stuff. It's just wrong to have stuff before God. It pleased them. Here's the truth. Some contribution. So a tithe is 10%. This, what he's talking about, this contribution, a contribution, it's an offering. So this is above their 10%. This is above their tithe. They're making an offering specifically for these other churches, for these other people. And so here's the truth. Pray about your part in the mission. Because when we give together, listen, it was a contribution. It wasn't just one person making the whole donation to Paul or to these for Paul to give. It was a contribution. They made a contribution. This is why he says, listen, what's in your heart? Pray about what your contribution is supposed to be as an offering. There's a contribution. It's just a part. When we give together, when we all make contributions, we make a greater impact. The burden is not just on one person, but if everybody would meet the burden that God has laid on their heart, we would have plenty. Right? And so pray about your part in the mission. And today we're talking specifically material, specifically financial. Because Paul, when he's writing to these believers, like, it's not a question that they wouldn't serve in other ways, that they wouldn't already be praying, that they wouldn't already be in like Bible study together, that they wouldn't already be in church services together, that they wouldn't already be opening their houses. He says, listen, you're already doing it, but what they need is this financial need to be met. And so they make a contribution to give together. Here's the one that we also don't want to hear. They were obligated. There's an obligation to give materially, to give financially. We are obligated to give because we have been given part in spiritual benefits. Listen, since you've been saved, since you've been born again and are growing in your walk and in your faith in Christ Jesus, you are obligated to give to those who are a part of it. You know why you're sitting here today? How many of you established this church? How many of you were here from day one? from day one, Cold Springs Valley Church, day one, just one. Now, did that work start with you? Oh, two. Did that work start with you guys? No. It started with another church who started from another church, who all started from one guy who God called and said, here's the deal. He was a wealthy man. God put it on his heart to buy these three pieces of property, and he said, here's the deal. I'm going to give it to you. Just be faithful in what God has called you to. I want to see a church in all those places. Right? Right? I mean, it didn't start with us. It won't end with us. But people are obligated to give their material goods, their financial goods, what they have in your financial resources, because the point of this is for people to come to know Christ and for people to grow in that walk. And so since we've gotten to take part in that spiritually, we've been born again, we've been brought to life, because guess what? Apart from Christ, you were dead in your sins and trespasses. That God brought you to life spiritually. And since you've been brought to life spiritually, you are to give materially. It's an actual debt to those who started the work so that you could be saved. He says, go and start churches. Go and proclaim the gospel. Go and make disciples. That takes resources. And once you are saved, you are now obligated to be part of that. Because when he said, go and make disciples, he meant everybody who was a disciple. So once you are made a disciple, your job is now to make disciples. And so part of that is this. You're obligated. He says, listen, you're obligated. They know that they're obligated. And so they don't have any problems sharing in their financial material possessions for those who are in need because they've taken share. They've taken part in the spiritual benefit. When you truly walk in Christ, and you truly are growing in Christ, trust me, your material goods, your material needs come way less important. Because as you walk and as you grow in Christ, you're like, I want some more of that. Man, God did this work, and I want some more of that. Remember when Jesus shares the parable of the guy who finds the treasure, right? He finds this treasure, and he finds this treasure in a field, and what does he do? He's like, oh man, I need to make sure I get all of this. So he sells everything else he has to go and buy this one field because he just wants to dig every bit of it to find every piece of treasure he can. And when you come to Christ and when you are growing in your walk with Christ, you will be able and willing to get rid of everything to get more of that, to get more of him. And I can tell you that sometimes the first step of obedience is like the actual letting go. And I told you, I struggled with this in different areas and at different times. And you probably heard the story, but listen, I'm the only one telling my story. So there was one time, I'm going to tell you two short stories. Yeah, two short stories. There's one time I had done some work and somebody paid me $1,000 in cash. $1,000 in cash. I tell you, I walk in the church, and the church had an offering box that was sitting inside the one. It was sitting inside the church office that was always open. And so when you first walked in, the church office used to be right there. So, you know, walking in pride, I don't know if any of you have ever struggled with pride. Man, it gets you. Walking in pride, I was like, man, here's my 10%. I stick it in the box. And man, I was so noble because I didn't even put it in an envelope with my name on it. I didn't even care if I was getting the tax benefit, right? Look at me. There's my 10%. And God said, turn around and put it all in. Well, God, you know what I was going to spend my $900 on. I just gave my 10%. I did everything I was supposed to. And he said, go put it all in the box because your heart, right? You don't need that money. The problem that you want that money and whatever that money is going to get you is not me. You might see a theme here.
I wanted an AR, an AR-15. All right? But not just, I had one, but I wanted to build one. Right? So, man, I bought all the parts, and I built this AR. Man, it's stainless steel barrel. It was just, man, it was right. And I build this gun, and I get a case for it, and I was like, man, I am going to shoot that thing. And God says, you're going to give that away. And here's how awesome God is. God says, you're going to give it to this specific person. Are you sure, Lord? Like, that indigestion I had last night might be speaking to me, not. He said, this is who you're going to give it to. And so there was a wrestling that had to take place in my heart, obviously. I mean, obviously, because I had wanted this thing, and I had spent resources, and none of that was a sin to do any of that. But God said, you're going to give this away. You see, that's where the sin started, because I was like, I don't want to. I don't want to be obedient to you. I want. It's mine. And he said, this is the person you're going to give it to. That person does fine. Why do they need my gun? They can go buy their own gun. They can go build their own gun. And God said, this is the person you're going to go and give it to. So I closed the case. I got in the truck. I was like, man, I got to go do this. I got to go visit this person. And so I knock on the door. And I wasn't super close to this person. I mean, we went to church together, but long story. Knock on the door, and I'm carrying a gun case. And he opens the door. He's like, hey. Like, the gun was in a case. That was very intentional. Because if I was just standing there like this, that would be a different, hey. And so, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm standing at the door with a gun case. He looks at the gun case. He looks at me. He's like, hey, what's going on? I said, you know, can I just come in and talk to you? And I say, listen, this is, and so I tell him the story. And God is just, and he told me specifically to bring it to you. He's like, I can't. He's like, I've been wanting one for a long time. He's like, but I can't take that. He's like, are you kidding me? I can't take it. I was like, no, you have to take it. Don't you send me home. I don't care. You give it away if you have to, but I'm giving it to you. Because I know what disobedience to God brings. And I tell you what, to see him blessed, right? To see him blessed, the gun didn't matter anymore. It wasn't even the fact that I could say I was obedient that time. It wasn't even that was the blessing. The blessing was to see that he got blessed. And he was a brand new Christian. And that's just it. God showed him that it's not bad to have stuff, that God will even give you some stuff, some things that you enjoy, if you don't put them above him. And strengthen his faith. Talk about a blessing, right? Yeah, I didn't even ask for the gun back. I didn't even ask to shoot it first, right? I didn't even shot this thing. That was one of the things. I was like, oh, you better make sure it shoots. You know, I just... We're obligated to his call. We're obligated to his command. And so we are to give of our stuff, but just give what God's calling you to. He's not calling you to give what he's not calling you to give. Don't be worried about selling everything and giving it all unless he's telling you to. And if he's telling you to, trust me, I promise you, on the other side, it's worth every bit of it. When he tells the rich young ruler, hey, you lack one thing, go sell and everything, give it to the poor, right? And then come and follow me. He says he went away sad because he had a lot of stuff. Here's what always strikes me in that story. It stops there. You say, why is that important? Jesus didn't chase after him and say, listen, I don't think you know what you're passing up. You're going to miss out on salvation. You're going to miss out on everything that I have for you if you don't go and do this. He didn't chase him. He didn't tell him that. That was all in the beginning. You lack one thing. And the one thing took a few steps of obedience. Okay, go and sell everything, then give it to the poor, then come and follow me. Good question is your heart all in? You're obligated because he's called us to, because he's already given you. And so if you're in Christ Jesus, your obligation, you're already obligated. He's already given you everything. On mission, hey, we are called to complete the task of support. We're called to. It's what he calls us to. Listen, Paul, there was no doubt in Paul's language here and what he writes. There's no doubt that with Paul that God's going to finish what he started. He says, when I have finished, right? He said, right? These are things, these are the words he used. When I finish this part of my mission, then I'm coming to you. He says, I know that I'm going to come to you. He says, and I know that when I come to you, I'm going to come like this. He's like, I know. And Paul says, I'm going to complete the task because God has given me the task. And he's making the way. Listen, if you're just obedient to God, he will make the way. He will complete the task. Just stay obedient to every step he's calling you to. That's it. Don't get ahead. Your ambition should just be to follow God and whatever he says, the words he says. Listen, he will complete the task, but he's calling you to complete the task. Paul says, I know that once I've done this. You hear that? Once I've done this, God's called me to do this. The saints have made it happen, and so now I'm going. But I know because his trust was in God. His trust wasn't in himself. His trust wasn't in his abilities as a sailor, because we know that that hasn't worked out real well. He's facing oppositions in every area of life, but he knows that God's going to accomplish this task. He's going to complete it. He's going to use Paul to do it. Listen, God will complete the task he's called you to. Just quit trusting in yourself and in your own abilities. God calls us out of our abilities. Because if you do it in your own ability, if you do it just in your own strength, then you're going to take the glory and you're going to take the credit, and it doesn't belong with you unless you've done it. Hey, if you want the credit, then by all means, go and do it, and you'll get the credit, but you won't get the blessing. You won't get the blessing. Because God's calling you to trust on him, to rely on him, to depend on him to do so. This is what it'll result in, the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Christ blesses the endeavors that he commissions. If God's calling you to an endeavor, and whether it's actually doing something or it's giving or whatever aspect of giving it is and whatever aspect of doing it is, when God calls you, when he commissions you, he will complete it. He will fulfill it. And there's blessings in it. He'll do it. And so the question, what we end with today, is what is Jesus actually calling you to? We don't spend enough time saying, okay, Lord, what are you calling me to? We spend more time thinking up things and saying, oh, that must be what God wants me to do because I thought it up because it came to my mind. Back to the hamster, the squirrel thing, whatever. I can think of all kinds of things. That doesn't mean that's what God has said to do. So what is God calling you? For some of you, maybe it's just to give a tithe. Maybe it's just to actually just start giving. Whether because he's shown you that you're obligated, whether he's shown you because you have salvation, whether he's shown you because it's a blessing, whether he's shown you because you can test him in it, whatever it is, maybe God has just called you to start giving. Man, the numbers are crazy. Our budget last year that we budgeted would only take $50 per week per member. That's it. To meet our budget. How many of you drink a coffee or a Monster or an energy, whatever, right? Every single day. How many of you drink 8? 4? Knock it off. You get one a day, okay? Not so you can give to the church, so that you can stay alive to continue to give to the church. We don't have any problem spending crazy amounts of money on things that are actually killing us, but the thing that gave us life, we don't give to. So maybe you're giving. Now listen, there's different scenarios. This is, you know, I've met people who, for different reasons, can't give. For legitimate reasons. Hey, listen, if you're married, like this happens a lot in churches. Like, you're married and the wife comes to church and the husband doesn't. My husband says, I cannot give to the church. He doesn't want the church having any of his money. Well, fine, don't give. Just be here. Like, that's completely different because God calls you to obedience to your husband. This is where the God doesn't need your money applies. But what God wants is your heart. So if you were able to give, would you give? You see, that's the question. Oh, that makes sense. Right. Is your heart in a place to give? It's not whether you actually give unless all these other things are met. So maybe it's a tithe. Maybe it's just your regular giving. Number two, maybe it's an offering. An offering is over and above the tithe. Whew, Pastor, you want me to give more than 10%? No, Jesus wants you to give whatever he calls you to. And just like when the church was built, there were people who gave offerings, like crazy offerings. Right? So that we get the building. But church, we're not done. Do this. You're still breathing, so we ain't done. What's the next step, Lord? Where's the next location? What's this? What's that? I believe, here's the thing, we have Love Lock. When I say we have been given an opportunity in Love Lock. And we're fulfilling that as the Lord leads. And I feel like the Lord gave me a dollar amount that we need for Love Lock this year. Okay? And I'm not going to share that number. Because that number is for me, not for you. The number that's for you is whatever he's put on your heart. And trust me, you can trust him. Well, don't trust me, but just believe me. Trust him. I remember there was a call, I'll end with this. When we were in the building program at Granite Hills to build the fellowship hall, I was still smoking and spending $300 a month on cigarettes. I think that's like a pack nowadays, isn't it? Like, but the truth, here's the thing. The truth is, in an addiction, you'll spend whatever it takes to feed that addiction. It's just the truth. And so $300 a month, I was like, man, I can't afford to give to the building program right now. And God says, you spend $300 a month on cigarettes, you're going to quit smoking and you're going to give that $300 a month to the building program. We had a pledge card, and I understand the meaning of a pledge. You write it down, you put your name on there, right? Like, you're pledging to the Lord. Right? This is not just like your mortgage, right? You always make your mortgage payment. Like, if you don't, you should. You're going to get kicked out. So I filled out this pledge card. I was like, man, like, this is, like, are you, Lord, this is really what you want me to do. Like, and, you know, he gave me confirmation, and so I put it on the card, and I put it in the box. And when you have to write the first check, and I hadn't quit smoking yet. So I had spent $300 on cigarettes for the month, and I still needed to write a $300 billing fund check. I wrote the check because I had given a pledge. So I'm going to have to do without something since I didn't quit smoking, and so I write the check. That whole entire year, I wrote the check and didn't quit smoking. And I'm not telling you, like, God says, go ahead and keep smoking. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I made sure I honored what he had told me, that I honored the pledge that he had put on my heart halfway. And I always made sure I had cigarettes, but I always first made sure that I met my pledge to the building fund because that's what he had called me to. I eventually quit because I don't smoke anymore, just so you know. You're like, man, pastor's like cranking on cigarettes like crazy. No, that's past, okay? I quit. But God provided everything I needed. I just had to be obedient in giving. And he provided everything. And were things tight and this and that because of my disobedience? Yes, but if I would have just been obedient just to the call, things would not have been tight. Things would not have been a struggle. And so it's just, what is God calling you to do? The widow gives two mites, and God said, Jesus says, man, she gave more than all of you guys. It's not how many zeros or where the decimal point is, because, you know, I can write, if I put the decimal point over on this side, I can put as many zeros as I want on this side. I'm that rich. You want 15 zeros on the right side of the decimal point? I can write that check all day. That's not what it is. What it is if God said, hey, if you had 15 zeros on the left side of the decimal point, would you still write the check? You say, man, I don't want to come to church to listen about giving. Well, you should, because it's what he calls us to. And it's one of the most disobedient areas of the Christian, the Western Christian's life. So you don't have to argue with me. And I don't want to hear anybody come and say, hey, pastor, I would really love to. You work this out with God, not with me. Because I'm not going to stand before Christ and be like, you know what, they didn't give because, you know, they came and told me. And so instead of talking to Jesus later about it, why don't you just talk to him right now? And since he's already proven faithful in every aspect, just say, okay, Lord, my heart doesn't want to give. So first and foremost, how do I change that? Lord, I give, and Lord, I'm giving my tithe, and I'm making offerings when you tell me to make, but maybe you're calling me to sacrifice. Maybe you're calling me to, and it doesn't even matter where it goes. Like, just show me that there's a need. How about this? How about Jesus just shows you that he wants you to give it? Here's the thing. We put the QR codes up just to make it easier because people have been asking. Like, how do I give to Lovelock? There were some issues trying to give online to Lovelock. That's why we put the QR codes up there. That's not for manipulation, it's not for any of that. Because I don't care about manipulation. I don't like to be manipulated. I don't know if any of you do. And so I'm not asking you to give in to manipulation. I'm not asking you to give in to anything that I've said. All I'm asking you to do is pray and ask the Lord what he's calling you to do. And just ask him to make it clear, because he is not the author or the founder of confusion. And he doesn't want you to be afraid. And so when he says, this is what I want you to do, even if it looks like it's going to hurt, this is what I want you to do. You can trust him because of who he is, because of how he's already proven himself. You see, we're on mission. And we're on mission to help Lovelock. We're on mission to start more churches. We're on mission to do other works that I truly believe God has given us a vision for. But today, we just have to talk about the financial part, because that's where we're at in the scriptures. That's where we're at, where God has called us to. And we shouldn't shy away from it. And so if you just bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to close us in prayer. I'm just going to give you a minute first to just ask of the Lord, okay, Lord, what is it that you're calling me to? Lord, just make it clear. Just show me. Show me what you're calling me to. Lord, I don't want to come up with any schemes. I don't want this to be of me. I don't want this so that I can boast in myself. I don't want this. I just want this to be obedience to what you're showing me. And for some, that's going to be making sacrifices. And for some, it's just going to be walking in simple obedience. And for some, it's going to be like, I didn't hear nothing. And you're just going to leave. As long as it's what you heard from the Lord, that's what you do. Listen, we will minister with $5, with no bucks, with $1,000,000. Whatever God gives us, we're going to minister. He proved that last year. We didn't, quote unquote, meet our budget, but we did all the ministry I believe we were supposed to do, because that's what he funded. And the same will happen this year, and next year, and next year, whenever, until Jesus comes back. But what he wants is your heart to be in obedience. And so just ask him to show you. Where do I need to be obedient? Father, we all desire to walk in obedience. Some part of us, we wouldn't even be here today if we didn't desire obedience to your call, to your will, to your commands. And Lord, you know where each and every one of us are at, spiritually and physically. Lord, you know what we can give. You know where what we need to give. You know what we need perfectly. So Lord, just move on our hearts and just show us. And then Lord, just move in our actions as well. Lord, I pray that you would just break our disobedience. You show us what you call us to, and then Lord, would you just make us to do it? We ask that we would be able to fulfill your calling only because of your power and by your might. And so Holy Spirit, move us, speak to us, draw us, change us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you would give everything for us. And you considered it a joy. Lord, keep our eyes focused on you. Keep our gaze upon heaven and our salvation, so that we will praise you, not with just our words, but with our actions. All glory be to God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, church. Have some coffee. Hang out with each other. But while you're having coffee, make sure you share with somebody what God is doing in your life. All right? And if you're like, I don't want to share, well, just ask, hey, what's God doing in your life? Right? Oh, yeah, Deacon of the Week.
I got a couple questions for you.
Okay. I'll give you one answer.
When are you going to build another AR-15?